Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Om Shri Pad Paramahamsa Bhi Raja Kacharya Stotara Sutta Shri Shumar His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Sikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadar Har Shri Vasat Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Grantaraj Shumad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Tito Jayam Mudirayet.
Nashta Prayeshu
Padreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavata Uttama Shloke
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So today we're reading from chapter 8, canto 3, texts 14 and 15. Saha Padmakoshaha Sahasa Udatishtat Sapadmakosha Sahasoditashtat. Please repeat. Sapadmakosha Sahasoditashtat. Kalena karma pratibodhanena. Kalena karma pratibodhanena. Surochisha tat salilam vishadam. Vidyodatayan narka ivatma yonihi. Vidyo tayan arka vivatma yonihi. Word meanings saha, that. Padmakoshaha, bud of a lotus flower. Sahasa, suddenly. Udatishtat, appeared. Kalena, by time. Karma, fruitive activities. Pratibodhanena, awakening. Swarochisha, by his own effulgence. Tat, that. Salilam, water of devastation. Vishadam, vast. Vidyotayan, illuminating. Arkaha, the sun. Iva, light. Atma yonihi, generating from the personality of Vishnu. Translation. Piercing through this sum total form of the fruitive activity of the living entities took the shape of the bud of a lotus flower generated from the personality of Vishnu. And by his supreme will, it illuminated everything like the sun and dried up the vast waters of devastation. Text number 15. Taloka Padmang Sa'u Eva Vishnu. Pravi Vishat Sarva Gunava Pasam. Tasmin Swayam Veda Mayo Vidhata. Swayam Bhuvang Yang Smavadanti So Bhut. Eva Vishnu. Pravi Vishat Sarva Gunava Bhasam.
Shasmin Swayam Vedamayo Vidata.
Shasmin Swayam Vedamayo Vidata.
Swayam Bhuvang Yang Smavadanti Sobhut.
Swayam Bhuvang Yang Smavadanti Sobhut. Pravi Vishat Sarva Gunava Bhasam.
Tasmin Swayam Veda Mayo Vidhata.
Swayam Bhuvam Yang Sma Vidanti So Bhut. Taloka Padmam Sa'u Eva Vishnu. Pravi Vishat Sarva Gunava Bhasam. Tasmin svayam vedamayo vidhata. Svayam bhuvam yam smavadanti so bhut. Word meanings. Tat.
That.
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 Loka.
Loka.
Universal.
Universal.
Padmam.
Padmam.
Lotus flower.
Lotus.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
U.
U.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Ava.
Ava.
Factually.
Factually.
Vishnu.
Vishnu.
The Lord.
Lord.
Pravivishat.
Pravivishat.
Entered into.
Sarva.
Sarva, all,
Guna
Avabhasam,
reservoir of all modes of
nature,
Tasmin,
in which,
Swayam,
in person, Vedamaya,
the personality of Vedic wisdom,
Vidhata,
controller of the universe,
Swayam Bhuvam,
self-born,
Yam,
whom,
sma,
in the past,
vedanti,
do say,
saha,
he,
abhut,
generated.
Translation: into that universal lotus flower, Lord Vishnu personally entered as the Supersoul, and when it was thus impregnated with all the modes of material nature, the personality of Vedic wisdom, whom we call the self-born, was generated. Please repeat. Into that universal lotus flower,
into that universal lotus flower,
Lord Vishnu personally entered as the Supersoul.
Lord Vishnu personally entered as the Supersoul.
And when it was thus impregnated with all the modes of material nature,
and when it was thus impregnated with all the modes of material nature,
the personality of Vedic wisdom,
personality of Vedic wisdom,
whom we call the self-born,
was generated.
Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This lotus flower is the universal Virat form, or the gigantic form of the Lord in the material world. It becomes amalgamated in the personality of Godhead Vishnu in His abdomen at the time of dissolution, and it becomes manifest at the time of creation. This is due to Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, who enters into each of the universes. In this form is the sum total of all the fruitive activities of the living entities conditioned by material nature. And the first of them, namely Brahma, or the controller of the universe, is generated from this lotus flower. This first form, living being, unlike all the others, has no material father, and thus he is called self-born, or Swayambhu. He goes to sleep with Narayana at the time of devastation, and when there is another creation, he is born in this way. From this description, we have the conception of three: the gross Virat form, the subtle Hiranyagarbha, and the material creative force, Brahma. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mritanyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitanyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Supadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sarvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're at that point now in Vidura's talks with Maitreya Muni, that Maitreya has, the setup is Maitreya, Vidura last chapter asked many, many questions, and Maitreya Muni then says, well, now I'm going to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. which I heard from my spiritual master. Who's Maitreya Muni's spiritual master? Anyone who's been paying attention?
Who's
Maitreya Muni's spiritual master? Parashara Muni was his spiritual master. He said in one of the previous verses, coming up to this, he's actually, Parashara Muni heard the Bhagavatam from the Sanat Kumar, who heard it from Anantashesha himself. So this is the four Kumaras Sampradaya. His and our Sampradaya is Lord Brahma's, who he's speaking about now. So he said that having heard this now, I'm going to speak to you about that to answer your questions. So all these questions are being answered in light of connection of everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, the four seed verses of Bhagavatam in the ninth chapter of the second canto, text number 33 through 36. Krishna explains, before the creation, nothing existed but me. Now, of course, Krishna exists in his own spiritual, his internal potency exists always with him. We shouldn't think of him that he was all alone and he was feeling lonely and then he made the creation. No, he was already satisfied and blissful in his relationship with all the devotees, pure devotees in the spiritual world. But he had the impetus to create. And then he explains that whatever appears to be of value, which is not related to him, is illusion. It has no real existence because he's related to everything. And it's called his maya, his illusory energy. So this is the mystery of how Krishna is directly connected to everything, and yet there's something he's not directly connected to, although he is directly and indirectly connected to, and that's the illusory appearance that we're independent of Krishna, that we see things as for ours to control. So this is apparent contradiction that there is material nature, and material nature is that by which the non-devotees, the living entities who turn their backs on pure devotional service, see something other than Krishna, even though there is nothing other than Krishna, if that makes sense. That, you know, so long as we remain outside of pure devotional service, then we will tend to see things in the world without their relationship to Krishna. But as soon as we engage in the linking process of devotional service, then we're once again connected in that transcendental, non-dual, blissful consciousness, Krishna consciousness, which is free from any miseries or from any of the influences of material time, like decay and so forth. And that's the pure blissful experience. So now, Maitreya Muni is explaining this process of creation of the material world, which is a place for those who are not engaged in pure devotional service. The pure devotees, the Paramahansas, they come here, and for them, they're not in any distress. They can see how the material world is going on, but they also see how it's really part of the spiritual world. So that's the next seed verse of the Bhagavatam, that he enters into the material elements, and yet he does not enter them. There's this, again, this apparent contradiction that Maya is where Krishna is not, even though Krishna is everywhere. It's the illusion. It's our misperception that sees that. So Krishna says that anyone who seeks out the ultimate knowledge must seek so far as this, in all ways, in all times and circumstances. So those are the four seed verses, and now we're getting Maitreya Muni. We're going to hear Maitreya Muni talking to Vidura all the way through into the fifth canto. Now he's going to talk about the beginning of the secondary creation of how Lord Brahma, in this chapter, Lord Brahma is going to see Lord Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, whose beauty mocks that of the coral mountain. There's a beautiful description of how beautiful Lord Vishnu is. And then Narada Muni then Brahma, he prays for creative, he prays for creative power. And what creative power does he get? But it's called Hiranyamaya. It's the Lord's power. Sometimes Brahma himself is called Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha literally means golden womb. And sometimes it's referred to Lord Brahma as Hiranyagarbha. But here, Srila Prabhupada in this purport is saying there's a conception of three. So the lotus flower that comes out of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu's navel on which Lord Brahma is born is described as the Virat Rupa, the manifestation of the material universe, which is non-different from Krishna, a part of his body, actually, lotus flower coming out of his abdomen, where it was amalgamated during the time of devastation. Now it's sprouted. And then on top of the lotus flower is born Lord Brahma, who is the actual secondary creator of the cosmic manifestation. The material elements are created by Mahavishnu. Then Lord Brahma becomes the regulator and creator in establishing all the different species and all the different aspects of this material world in this process of secondary creation. And Hiranyagarbha is the subtle creative impetus of Lord Vishnu. So I wanted to read, I promised, I was talking to Pushkar this morning. He was saying, don't make it all dry, all this philosophy and stuff like that. Pushkar, I was talking to Pushkar.
Yeah.
And he was saying, oh, you're giving class this morning. He said, don't keep all this difficult, you know, technical stuff. Although this technical stuff is important. It's a great science of Krishna consciousness. And this is part of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I was thinking how, you know, material scientists, they even have this branch of philosophy called cosmology, which is, you know, the philosophy of the origins of the universe and its dissolution and you know, what's the big picture out there, which is the famous cosmologists nowadays are physicists and astronomers or astrophysicists who, you know, try to see what we know about what the very little limited knowledge we can perceive based on our sense perception of the sky and the stars and the planets and our understanding of how the laws of material nature, the physical laws of material nature work. They have this elaborate theory of creation which keeps changing. When I was a teenager, I went to a Nobel Prize winning astrophysicist lecture named Dickey, and he was talking about how the universe was expanding and contracting again, expanding and contracting. But a lot of his theories have been, or what he was relying on has been subsequently debunked by the observations that people have of the universe. So this cosmology that we get from Maitreya Muni, and we also get from Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva spoke the Bhagavatam. Who's Vyasadeva's spiritual master? Everybody knows that, right? Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is the son of Lord Brahma and heard directly from Lord Brahma. And we're in that line because Madhvacharya became a disciple directly of Vyasadeva. So he gave a description of the creation of the universe. There are many descriptions of the creation of the universe and of the universal form within the Bhagavatam. It must be important that we're supposed to learn it. So I was thinking that material scientists, they put a lot of energy into, you know, to get a PhD in physics or mathematics or astronomy or something like that. They work very hard. So I remember Srila Prabhupada wrote somewhere, I think it's in Nectar of Devotion, I'm not sure, that demons, and I don't mean to disparage anyone, but demons can actually be more austere and work more intently than devotees. That the material mode of passion impels people to strive very, very hard for to achieve some result, whereas and it binds us by this attachment to the results of our work, whereas in the mode of goodness it has a different way of binding. Of course, the mode of pure goodness, we see the Paramahansas like Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, working very, very vigorously to spread this Krishna consciousness movement on the order of Lord Chaitanya. But for those of us who are not so pure, The mode of goodness, we become peaceful and happy and satisfied. And we have a sense that we can see the mistakes that everyone else is making, that, you know, we don't have to struggle to achieve something difficult, to get a big bank balance or whatever, or build a skyscraper or whatever they're struggling for. So the danger is that we can become complacent. We can become satisfied as we are and not do our duty even. Or in the mode of goodness, one does one's duty without, for the sake of purity alone, without achieving some result, trying to achieve some difficult result. But tendency is there that we may be happy and think, why do I have to study all this stuff about all the three Purushas and the Hiranyagarbha? What is the Hiranyagarbha and how is it different from Brahma and stuff like that? But it's our duty. Prabhupada wrote these books for us by his great mercy, and he struggled to write these books. I mean, we saw his intense activity in not only starting this movement and managing it, but also writing these books for us. And we need to study them and try to remember them. I express my own frailty on that score, but I'm doing my best. And that's what I told Pushkar. I said I didn't come prepared with some story from Chaitanya Bhagavat or something, but I like to sometimes explode different ISKCON idioms. And the one I'm thinking about today is Ishtagoshti. But to give you an example of ISKCON idioms, I just learned a couple of weeks ago or so that we used to have these vadas that the devotees would make out of green split peas, and we put them in a tomato sauce. They still have, Nirkula still makes this preparation every Vyas Puja. It's one of the greatest feasts in ISKCON, I think, is Vyas Puja at ISKCON Silicon Valley. But we always called them Bharats. And then there's Uradal Bharats and split pea Bharats. Uradal Bharats were usually in yogurt, Dahivada. So someone told me the reason we called them Bharats is that someone misunderstood. You know, Prabhupada said Vada in his Bengali accent with a B instead of a V or a W. Vada, and the devotees just heard it as Bharats. So we can have these different. So if you go into the Indian restaurant or something, you say, I want some Bharats, they'll look at you like, what are you talking about? Similarly, Ishtagoshti, I read, I believe it was in the Leelamrita, but if not, it was in another memory book that Satsarupa Maharaj wrote, that when the devotees were in New York, Prabhupada was giving them lectures all the time. There were lectures every day. There was a Bhagavatam class and a Gita class at night. And then Prabhupada went to San Francisco. And the devotees in New York were in great anxiety. They said, Srila Prabhupada, if you're going away from us, what will we do? We need the lectures. And Prabhupada said, well, you can sit among yourselves and discuss my books, discuss Krishna consciousness, and that's called Ishtagoshti. So Ishta means the Lord, the worshipable deity. Goshti means friendly talks, like that. Friendly talks about Krishna. You know, it doesn't have to be the spiritual master talking to the disciple. Although Bhagavatam is received that way, that there's a qualified listener like Parikshit who asks questions, an inquisitive student, and there's a qualified speaker who knows everything and can provide the perfect answers. But in ISKCON, Ishtagoshti sort of later became the meaning of a meeting about temple management or something like that. You know, how do we want to, people would have different, sometimes they would become quarrelsome because people would have different ideas of what we should do about one thing or another thing. Should we change the time of the Sunday feast or stop locking the back door, you know, whatever. But anyway, I wanted to give that part of this kind of history. So Hiranyagarbha is mentioned in the Brahma Samhita in this verse and purport. It's nice to read the Brahma Samhita. It's very difficult at first, but if we keep reading it and concentrating on it, it starts to become clear. Maybe it's because I'm a lawyer and I was taught to read these difficult contracts and things with all these jargon words, but I really like reading Brahma Samhita. So in this verse, Vaman Gadas Rajad Vishnum Dakshinangat Prajapatim Jyotir Lingamayam Shambhum Kurcha Deshad Avastrajat. The translation is, the same Mahavishnu created Vishnu from his left limb, Brahma, the first progenitor of beings, from his right limb, and from the space between his two eyebrows, Shambhu, the divine masculine manifested halo. And in the purport, it says, the divine Purusha, lying in the ocean of milk, the same who is the regulator of all individual souls, is Sri Vishnu. And Hiranyagarbha, the seminal principle, the portion of the Supreme Lord, is the prime progenitor who is different from the four-faced Brahma. This same Hiranyagarbha is the principle of seminal creating energy of every Brahma belonging to each of the infinity of universes. So, my understanding, forgive me if I'm wrong, is that, you know, that there's a Brahma who's often a living entity, jiva tattva, but who's given the position and the duty in connection with regulating the material world and creating. And sometimes Brahma becomes enlightened and goes back to Godhead, and there's no other jiva immediately available, and Lord Vishnu himself takes the position of Brahma. But the subtle principle of the duty of what Brahma does in creation, that is actually a principle of the creative energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many, many universes, as we read in Brahma Samhita, Krishna appears in each and every one of the universes, and at the same time, he's in each and every atom within the universe. We read that this morning at the same time. And all the universes exist in him. Mother Yashoda wanted to stop him from eating dirt, and she looked in Krishna's mouth and she saw the whole universe in his mouth. And but it disturbed her mood of parental affection, so she told him, don't eat dirt anymore. She didn't want to see that amazing universal feature of who Lord Krishna really is. So this Hiranyagarbha mentioned here, Srila Prabhupada's talking about this three separate things. How is Hiranyagarbha separate from Brahma? Because Hiranyagarbha is the principle of the creative impetus that one or another Lord Brahma may occasionally embody. And by bearing that fiery energy of Krishna, he regulates this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects. So, reading these things and remembering them is part of devotional service, remembering. When I was in the St. Louis Temple in 1976, Tamal Krishna Goswami sent around Kushakrata Prabhu. I don't know if any of you, some of you knew Kushakrata Prabhu. He was kind of an eccentric devotee, but he memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita very quickly, early on. And later he translated all these Goswami literatures, many, many different books. He just translated them like the wind. He didn't care about carefully editing them or anything. But he gave us all these books that other devotees like Shivaram Swami and others were able to read and give us other books, more refined books. And then, you know, other devotees like Bhanu Swami and stuff learned Sanskrit and the Bengali to do their own translations well enough. But he came to our temple and taught us that we should learn to memorize verses. And we had a list of about 100 verses from the Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada quoted most often. And he came there and he taught us to remember, you know, how to remember verses. And we used index cards and we wrote down, you know, word meanings and translations and then recited the verses. If we recite them in class also, it helps us remember them. And so we were trained that Prabhupada wanted us to be able to speak from the verses. And I found that it helps us assimilate the philosophy when we remember it. We remember these things. Not everybody is great at memorizing Sanskrit verses, but at least you read the Bhagavatam, you read the Krishna book, you read the Nectar of Devotion. Try to remember something that you read and tell somebody about it. And then it becomes part of you that you can recite that. I mean, gosh, how many advertising jingles and pop music songs and things can we sing by heart because we've been exposed to them? If we apply ourselves a little bit, just like material scientists are applying themselves to do, you know, advanced differential calculus and so forth, and how to apply that to the work that they're doing, we can apply ourselves to memorizing Srila Prabhupada's books and the purports and discussing them with one another in Ishtagoshti. So, when Vyasadeva was instructed by Narada Muni to compose the Srimad Bhagavatam to explain the glories of the Lord and his devotional service and his pure devotees and that relationship, he sat in his ashram by the banks of the Saraswati River, which was surrounded by berry trees, and he meditated and said, Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranahite Male Lokas Apashyad Purusham Purnam Mayam Cha Tad Apashrayam. That should be Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 7th chapter, verse number 4. That what he saw was not just the Supreme Personality of Krishna, but he saw his external energy also. This Krishna's interested in creation, even though he's also aloof, he has his own spiritual world. He wants to give the living entities who are suffering in material existence the opportunity to come back to him. And he also gives them the opportunity to live out their fantasy that they can enjoy independently of him. So he creates the material world again and again. Every day of Brahma, every night, Lord Brahma lays down with Lord Narayan and goes to sleep for 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas, and then he wakes up in the morning and his creation goes again. And Vyasadeva saw that that material energy was under Krishna's full control. And then a couple of verses later, in verse number 6, he says, I'm trying to remember these verses. Anartho pasamam shakshad bhakti yogam adhokshaje lokasya janata vidvang chakre sakrita sanghita. So it says that the miseries of the material, of the living entities, there are so many miseries. This material world is a place of misery. We have, all of us have some experience of it. And we should be compassionate for those who have even more miseries. But he says that that's superfluous to the living entities, that those miseries of the material world that are experienced by the living entities is superfluous to them. But it can be directly mitigated by this linking process of devotional service. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, what we're talking about, that Vyasadeva saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also saw the material energy and how the living beings were being illusioned and suffering, and he saw the process for mitigating that, which is this linking process of devotional service. And so the great sage wrote this Chakre Satyata Sanhitam. He wrote this Srimad Bhagavatam, this great literature, for our benefit. And in the process of that literature, he also now is describing how Shukadeva Goswami described to Maharaj Parikshit about how Vidura inquired from Maitreya, and then Maitreya is explaining how this is parampara, this is the process, how Sanat Kumar, the four Kumaras, inquired from Anantashesha Naga, they inquired, they spoke. Parashu Muni was there, and also Brihaspati was there when they were speaking. And the Kumaras were speaking, and then Maitreya heard from them. So he knew this Bhagavatam, and he was able to see Krishna directly, face to face, and hear Krishna's final instructions to Uddhava, which are described in the 11th canto. And now he's describing this same Srimad Bhagavatam in this process of creation. In how, you know, the cosmologists have their ideas about how there was some singularity that was just everything in a tiny little particle, and then it exploded, and somehow that's how creation came about. But obviously that description is not very satisfying. It doesn't seem like from an explosion we could find the world so nicely arranged and designed. And from the Srimad Bhagavatam we hear the real process is how Mahavishnu generates these universes. Garbhadaksha Vishnu enters into each one of them, fills them with water from his own pores, and then lays down on this beautiful white bed of Anantashesha Naga, who has thousands and millions of heads, all decorated with beautiful golden helmets, and he's always speaking this about the glories of Krishna, and he never comes to an end of them. And then on that flower, when night is over and the day comes, what does Krishna say in the ninth chapter? Sarva Bhutani Konteya Vishrajami Punak Punaha. That he creates all the living entities again and again. And then Abhashat Prakriti Abhashat, it comes automatically. Bhutagrama Mimang Kritsnam Abhishek Prakriti. Maybe I'm getting that one wrong. The next verse he's saying that, and this is also in the eighth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how the universe is being created and destroyed and created again. But there's another place in the eighth chapter. Prastasmatu bhavonyo bhutva bhutva praviyate yasya sarveshu bhuteshu ashyachu na vinashati. So Krishna has his own transcendental world which is not created and destroyed. But for the non-devotees he's creating, and this creative impulse is Hiranyagarbha, and material, the living entities who are material illusioned and all their sum total of their different karma and everything sprouts like a beautiful lotus out of his navel. And then Lord Brahma, who is the actual secondary creator, is born on the top of that lotus. And he's known as Swayambhu because, unlike all the other living entities, he doesn't have any father. Parashara Muni, by the way, who spoke to Maitreya, was the father of Vyasadeva. So we'll leave some time for reflections and discussions. And Panchakota Prabhu, get him the microphone. It's no, because people are listening. A lot of people are watching from home.
Mother Yashoda, upon seeing the universal form, she didn't want to deal with it, and even the inhabitants of Vrindavan, to understand how magnanimous and wonderful Krishna is. And then number two, that we have imperfect senses, we're illusion, we have many shortcomings, and the God is inexplicable, so why are we trying to understand the intricacies of his creation and if we don't really have the ability to really understand, he's inexplicable.
Well, in this age of Kali, he comes in the form of chanting the holy names. The holy name alone can render all benedictions. So even if we can't study Srimad Bhagavatam, at least we can chant. We heard this morning, Akadashi was telling us how if we can't chant 16 rounds, the prescribed number of rounds, then we're in a materially diseased or spiritually diseased condition. So, yeah, if we can become pure, then we can overcome this Kali Yuga inabilities. Speaking for myself, I still have many Kali Yuga inabilities and I can't even remember the verses right. But if we become pure, we can do anything. I mean, look what Srila Prabhupada did. He translated all these books, he created from nothing. He had 7 rupees in his pocket and then he created this gigantic movement. I was reading the I'll Build You a Temple book, which is a very wonderful book, and Giri Rajaswami is recounting how when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan getting ready to depart, that Prabhupada had given them permission to pray to Krishna to save Prabhupada. He said, I leave it up to Krishna whether I'll go or not go. And then Prabhupada said, Krishna told me I could do as I wanted. I could stay or go. And then Prabhupada in turn asked the GBC, you tell me, what should I do? Should I stay? I'm in this old body. It's, you know, I could go and be with Krishna. Or should I stay here? And they discussed it among themselves and they decided, no, we can't be without you. You have to finish the Bhagavatam. You have to, what will we do without you? You have to stay, please stay. And so Giriraj wrote this nice letter where he said, you know, Krishna can do anything. But look at what he already let Prabhupada do. He let him, you know, create this movement, translate these books, establish this big temple in Bombay and establish other temples around the world. And he's creating this worldwide movement. So Krishna can do anything. So he can let Prabhupada stay with us for some time more. And Prabhupada liked the letter and he said, publish it in Back to Godhead. So the question is, because we're in Kali Yuga, how can we understand the Bhagavatam? It's true, the Bhagavatam is a scripture meant for Paramahansas. And Paramahansas don't have any more material attachment. We can only imagine these devotees like Haridas Thakur, the Six Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta, before he started Gaudiya Math, he chanted 192 rounds a day like Haridas Thakur for 10 years, every day. So many, I don't know, 10 billion names or something like that. What's that?
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Well, we want to hear what you have to say, if it's not related. Okay. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are completely non-envious. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samtam. No, Krishna Svatama Pagate Dharma Jnana Dibisa. Oh, no, I know what I'm thinking of. Go ahead.
I wanted to share the beginning, very beginning of what you said today, get it affirmed. Yeah, I'm very much ashamed to say that I haven't been reading enough. You know, I'm very ashamed to say that it's true. But I was raised by a very devout Christian. I have no doubt if my mother had supported, I'd probably be on the pulpit. But I believed in God. I always wanted to know who and see him, and I love Jesus Christ. So now when I share it with Christians, I had this incredible experience when I first started coming here, I worked at Takachali, and I had a very close connection with a nurse from Lebanon whose family had to escape here.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Say it as long.
I had a very close relationship with a fellow nurse from Lebanon.
Oh, a home nurse.
And they had
from
to escape
Lebanon.
Here. And she had problems because there's a, you know, when I came to Krishna consciousness. So I was like, really? Baba Gita on my desk. And so they had some trouble with it. But what my point is this. A friend had given her a new Bible. And she was in the shower. And I was on her bed. And I picked up the Bible. And it correlates, you know, it's just time and circumstance, less information, right? And in the very first chapter in Genesis, very first column in the middle, it said three things that blew me away, that totally affirmed the Vedas. It said, to man, I've given every man of herb and grain, bearing seed. And he also says, let their meat be the fruit of the trees. We know fruit is the most precious fruit, most food and mode of goodness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the third thing that got me, and you affirmed it just a bit in your class, Krishna was not alone, because he was already in the spiritual world when he created this particular, what's going on now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the Bible, it says on the seventh day, we rested and we were satisfied. It says we, you know, implies more than one person.
Mm-hmm.
With the creation.
Jai.
So I just wanted to share.
So he wasn't alone. We shouldn't think of God. Some Christians may think that at first God was all alone for eternity, and then, because their conception of time is linear, so then at some point God decided you know, 7,000 years ago or 6,500 years ago or something to create the universe. And then right in the middle, he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And then now it's going to end soon, and then we'll go be raptured, those of us who are faithful, and then we can live with God. But the rest of the people will eternally burn in hell. So it's not a very satisfying experience, but the bhakti is there. You know, you as a devout Christian, you experienced some, and you saw that, wait a second, God wasn't alone in the creation in the Bible. So I was just going to finish Panchagoda's question. Did I not finish your question? Which is that even though the Srimad Bhagavatam is this scripture meant for great Paramahansas, that it's said that those who've lost their way, kalo nashtrishami shan punaranarko dinoditaha, the people who've lost their way in the dense darkness of this age of Kali shall find light from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and they find light from the Bible and from the Quran. And Buddhists find light from, even though they're don't have a sense that there's a supreme person. Nevertheless, they have a sense that there's an enlightened person, and they find light in that. And so there's so many, you know, this anthropologist Malinowski, he's the father of ethnography. He studied, just like Margaret Mead was in Samoa, he was in the Trobriand Islands in French Polynesia. And he gave a series of lectures and they published in a book called Magic, Science, and Religion. And what he says is that people all over, human beings, they have some technology. You know, these Trobriand Islanders, they had to make canoes that would swim in the water and work very well. And they knew how to do it. They knew how to dug out a log and things. But they also had anxiety about the inability to control nature. And so there was magic. Incantations, which was another kind of technology, really, but based on spells and these feelings. But then religion is something different, and everybody, every human being has this need to be connected to something bigger and to, you know, understand what happens when we die and, you know, these big questions of life. And so it's a human trait, actually, to be religious or to discuss God and to discuss our place and our relationship with God. Yeah, a lot of humans in Kali Yuga have rejected that, being over-intelligent. But this is actually a human need. As they say, there's no atheists in foxholes. So even the big, big scientists and atheistic scientists, I should say, we have devotee scientists here, but even the atheistic scientists and the hardcore Christopher Hitchens and what's his name, the sociobiologist, he's also Richard Dawkins. These guys, they still believe in God way down underneath because we have an eternal relationship. We have an eternal relationship that's transcendental with Krishna. And therefore, he cares about us even in our ignorance. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we get enlightened by whatever level we can get engaged in it. Srila Prabhupada has given us this beautiful morning program with, you know, we all get to sit here and sing to Krishna in a chorus like reminds me of the Vedas singing in the beginning of the creation. The Vedas come out and sing these prayers to Vishnu. And we get to discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam a little. Yes. We had, you know, I'm sure you joined the movement like I did, we were living in an ashram and we had responsibilities and duties to do and we didn't have a lot of time for reading. My Sankirtan leader in Los Angeles, Haripad, used to have us get up at 2:30 in the morning so we could finish all our rounds before Mangalartik and then we could, before we went out to the Los Angeles International Airport, we would meet together and we would recite whole chapters of, you know, Lord Rishabhadev's instructions, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, chapters of Bhagavad Gita. I remember I learned the fourth chapter. I don't know if I learned the fourth chapter before or after I learned the seventh chapter, but it was one of the first chapters I memorized when we were doing that. But we didn't really, the temple presidents wanted us to work. We had a lot of work to do. Prabhupada wanted us to work. He needed to make this movement happen. And now that we're older, some of us, we need to train up a new young generation because that's the real age. One time Srila Prabhupada was at, I'll end soon because I know it's almost 9, but one time Srila Prabhupada was at a college campus and he was being interviewed by a journalist, and the journalist said, how come all your disciples are young? You know, you only have young. And he said, well, how come all the college students are young? And she said, well, that's the age for college. That's, you know. And he said, well, it's the age for spiritual life too. But now that we're older, we can maybe take some time to read more and try to systematically understand all these things. It will help us. And I'm not saying, you know, don't read Krishna book and think of the pastimes of Krishna also, but it's not the only thing. We have to understand, we won't really appreciate those pastimes fully if we don't understand the tattva of what Krishna is as a separate existence from the jivas and how he is related to this world. Something else? Any? Yes, one more time.
One thing more, I found very effective when I'm sharing with people, because I do love to share. This is what I like to do. We're supposed to do, right? And if they're open, if they're open, you know, they're still there and listening, you know, they're kind of open. I say, you know, we're actually better Christian than you are, because we actually follow thou shalt not kill. Mm. It doesn't qualify. My godmother and I used to go back and forth about this all the time, right? And I said, no, it doesn't say who or what. It doesn't quantify what should not be killed. And it's amazing. It's amazing sometimes.
There's a sign on Highway 75 when I'm driving down sometimes to Orlando, or I don't know if it's past Ocala or before, but it's a Christian group has put up a sign and said that, you know, real Christians follow God's instructions, something like that. You know, that there is a philosophy that you find among some Christians that they say, well, nobody can be free from sin. Jesus is the only one, but we're forgiven, we're saved by grace, and then we can do all whatever nonsense we want. Well, some of them. I'm not talking about the general.
I have a lot of Christian friends.
Yeah.
Like, I always try to read it literally, it's just through me you come to the Father. Mm-hmm. Christ never claims to be God. He never claims it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many Christians who believe that they're, you know, like us. But I know now this is the ultimate. You know, I understand that fully, but they really, you're not going to convince me any different. You're just not. They're
right.
Just completely convicted that only through Christ. Only.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of natural too. I mean, I see it sometimes in us. We don't so much see the devotional service of people outside our little ISKCON world, you know.
Yeah.
But actually, Krishna's everywhere, and he's distributing devotional service.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christ never said. If we say sakshat ridvena samasta shastra, that the spiritual master is not different from God, but kintu praporya priyeva tasya, because he's doing this service as the spiritual master, which is most confidential service. He's the dearest servant of God. Therefore, we see him as directly God, because that's part of our training in devotional service to Krishna, is to learn how to treat a person who's a divine person, our spiritual master. So, only begotten son. I take it that John was, of course, John was also developing this mystic, you know, his gospel is different from the other three gospels, but when you have an only child, you love him very dearly, very specially. But on the other hand, from the point of view of logic, if God is the greatest, most opulent, most beautiful, most powerful, most wise, most renounced, most famous person, why would he limit himself to only one child? And it's said that we're all God's children. So only begotten son just means that they're worshiping their guru with a very special affection, seeing him as the most dear servant of God. But, you know, there's a natural tendency to think, what I'm doing, if you don't join my group, if you don't do exactly what I'm doing, then you must be doing something wrong. So, I mean, my wife grew up Catholic. went to Catholic school, and in those days, it would be a sin to go with her friend to the Lutheran church. You know, I mean, that was, you know, and other people think, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses think, oh, it's a sin to go to the Catholic church, you know, or whatever. Anyway, we should stop. It's after 9, almost 5 after. Hare Krishna.